Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, America. Welcome to the Inside Scoop from Washington. I am your host, Mark Levine, reporting live from the Center for American Progress. There's an interesting article in today's Washington Post. It says that a bag of heroin is cheaper than a pack of cigarettes. Did you know that? I mean, let's hope that most of you are not heroin and cigarettes users, but it may surprise you to know that a whole bag of heroin, and again, I don't know how big a bag of heroin is. I can't say I've ever done any, but I don't know. Is that a, whatever it is, a bag of heroin. is that for one use or not? Whatever. A bag of heroin in Baltimore costs $5. Pack of cigarettes in Maryland costs $7.75. In Pennsylvania, bag of heroin is $8. There, actually, a pack of cigarettes is $6.85, so it's slightly more. In New York City, heroin is $10 a bag, and a pack of cigarettes costs about $11, $12.85 in Manhattan. And on and on and on and on. And the question the article asks, and I think it's a good one, is why is it cheaper to buy a bag of heroin than a pack of cigarettes? Now, if you know me and you've heard this show before, just a couple days ago, I did a whole discussion on why I am a virulent non-smoker. I mean, I'm pretty bad. I don't know if I mock, but I'm kind of mean to smokers. I think I'm doing it for their own good. I'm also doing it, I admit, because hell, you know, smoking around me gives me a headache. Makes my eyes turn red and water. It makes me really kind of queasy, and it sticks in my hair and my clothes. I am not a fan of people smoking tobacco around me. And yet I would never argue that tobacco should be illegal. You want to know why? A bag of heroin costs less than a pack of cigarettes. Cigarettes, of course, are legal. They are heavily regulated. And they are taxed. One of the reasons why New York has the highest prices is because New York taxes tobacco $4.35 a pack. And then there's a $1 federal cigarette tax and a 40-cent sales tax. And that's pretty high. And I'm glad. The lowest priced cigarettes in the country are in my home state of Virginia. They add just 30 cents a pack, plus the federal tax. So today, maybe the only place in the country where heroin is more expensive than cigarettes is Virginia, where it only costs about $5 a pack to buy a pack of cigarettes. Heroin would be $6 or $7. Why is heroin so cheap? Heroin's illegal. You can go to jail for mere possession. Heroin isn't marijuana, which is a relatively harmless drug. Not completely harmless. I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it's about as harmless as tobacco and cigarettes. Actually, I think it's less harmful than tobacco. Tobacco kills 400,000 people a year, and I'm not sure they've proven a single death from marijuana. It probably happens. After all, the smoke gets in your lungs. But people smoke 1-2 packs a day, and if they smoke more than a joint a day, they're probably a pothead. Heroin is more dangerous. Heroin is extremely addictive. Heroin is a very dangerous drug that presumably very few people use, unlike cigarettes or even marijuana. Why is it so cheap? Heroin isn't taxed. Heroin drug prices are determined by drug cartels, mostly Mexican drug cartels. And frankly, the cartels are increasing production. They know that they can, now that other kinds of opiate drugs, the article says, things like Oxycontin. You may remember Oxycontin. That's the thing that Rush Limbaugh was addicted to and pled guilty to possessing. They've become more expensive, so they've increased their production. These entrepreneurs, these drug entrepreneurs, and they are basically making sure that the prices are cheap. Meanwhile, addicts go to jail. They don't get help. They go to jail, which isn't much help for them, frankly. Being strung out on heroin in a jail cell, you may learn how to best burglarize a liquor store or how best to commit acts of violence or maybe how to cheat people. There's all kinds of lessons you can learn in jail. How to get off drugs, not really one of them. It's time to reconsider our entire drug war. And I say this as someone who is neither a fan of heroin, nor cigarettes, nor for that matter, marijuana. I have never smoked anything other than the smoked salmon I put on my bagel, and I don't smoke that myself. I am proud to say I've never put a cigarette to my lips or a joint to my lips. I'm as personally as anti-druggy as you can get. Okay? If you didn't hear my rant 2 days ago about why I think it should be illegal for parents to smoke in cars with kids around, go to my website, marklevinetalk.com. You will see I am not a fan of cigarettes or marijuana or heroin. Okay? But if there's any greater proof that our entire drug war has failed, well, just read the Washington Post article and ask yourself why a bag of heroin costs less than a pack of cigarettes. Cigarettes are taxed. They are prohibited from being sold to children. I don't think the age should be 18, by the way. I think it should be 21. I think cigarettes are a lot more dangerous than alcohol. If anything, alcohol should be 18 and cigarettes should be 21. But I wouldn't ban them. As much as I detest cigarettes, I wouldn't ban them. If we banned them, the price would probably go down. And a bunch of smokers would be in prison. And it's bad enough to be a smoker. You're going to die a decade or so younger. You have to pay a lot of money for this habit. It's extremely addictive. In fact, nicotine is the most addictive drug known to man. Once you take a cigarette, one puff of a cigarette, the addiction already starts working. The majority of people who've had two cigarettes, just two cigarettes, have become addicted and have gone on to become regular smokers. That's all it takes. Far more addictive even than heroin. But I wouldn't ban it. I don't think it does good to put smokers in jail. In fact, what I would do is I would use the tax on cigarettes, which clearly I would raise in Virginia. I'd love to raise the New York standards, another $5 a pack. A lot less people would smoke, more people would live, there'd be less harm to children, bronchitis and asthma. And I would use a portion of that money, frankly, to help smokers get off smoking for nicotine patches or gum, which frankly should be subsidized and basically free. Basically free. If you a stop smoking program could be funded by taxes on tobacco and basically free. I'm fine with that. But I wouldn't ban it. Banning it causes drug cartels to shoot each other and gang wars in the streets to kill each other over who has the best street corner. And this isn't unique to drugs. Just go back to the days of Prohibition. When alcohol was illegal and the mafia took control of it, well, John Dillinger used to get out his machine gun and have a Chicago Saturday night special. But as soon as Prohibition ended, and alcohol is also regulated, heavily regulated and taxed, well, we don't have illegal gangs selling bottles of beer. We just don't. And not that many people are selling illegal cigarettes. Yeah, there was the case. Was it already a year now? Eric Garner, a guy in New York, was selling loose cigarettes at a profit. He's the guy that was murdered by a police officer. So we have that kind of petty crime, but very, very little and nothing compared to the brutality of the drug gangs all across America. Now, what would happen if we legalized heroin? Well, will we have more addicts? I don't know. Why don't we start with something like marijuana, which also causes a huge drug war, drug gangs killing each other. Marijuana is a lot less dangerous than heroin. It's a lot less addictive than heroin, far less addictive than cigarettes. And again, you don't have to like it. I don't like it. I've never smoked it in my life, and I don't want people smoking it around me. And I've told people that. I'm not going to turn them into the police. But I hate the smell. Although, interestingly, the sickeningly sweet smell of marijuana doesn't bother me quite as much as the nastiness that is tobacco smoke, personally. But they both bother me. I don't like either one of them. Now, what do you think would happen? We know in Colorado they have marijuana, and they tax it. And I'd be curious to know, and this article doesn't say, I would think that the price of marijuana would go up if we legalized it and taxed it and prohibited it to children. I have parents that say to me, well, Mark, if you legalize marijuana, then my kid's going to get it at age 16. And I said, ask your 16-year-old child, which is easier to get? A nickel bag of marijuana, a pack of cigarettes, or a can of beer? I bet they tell you the easiest one of the three to get is the marijuana. Because tobacco and alcohol are legal, and because they're only sold in stores, yeah, you can get around it. You can try to ask an adult to buy one for you if they take that risk of themselves breaking the law. Chet tends to be an honest person. Drug dealers can't make a lot of money off of it, so you have to have some, well, I won't say honest because they're going in and breaking the law, but basically someone who's afraid, some person who doesn't make a career of drug dealing, to go in and take a risk. Buy something for you. It can be done. You can get cigarettes, you can get alcohol, but it's harder than getting marijuana, precisely because it's illegal. So what to do about heroin, crack, cocaine? I mean, there are some very dangerous drugs out there, far more dangerous than marijuana, frankly, or cigarettes in terms of what they do with your mind. We can think of some drop in acid, hallucinogenic drugs, drugs like the one that Rush Limbaugh was addicted to, Oxycontin. Well, I'm not saying put them on the street, make them really easy to buy. But at the same time, I think that putting drug users, non-violent drug users, in jail does no one any good. Obviously, it doesn't do the addict any good. It doesn't get them off the drugs. And there are places in Europe that get them off the drugs. There are reasons we have methadone clinics that work to get them off the drugs. But this doesn't. This gets them basically in jail, far worse. It ruins their lives. It makes sure many times they can't get another job. And if anything, when they get out of jail, they're going to be so depressed, they're going to go back to that drug. It doesn't help society either. We know that rehab clinics are a lot cheaper than even minimum security prisons. We know that the people who use drugs, and again, so obviously some drugs are worse than others, certainly marijuana users are tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions in America, and go about their daily lives. Now, if someone comes to work stoned for me, I'm going to fire them. If you're high while driving, you should go to jail, just like if you're drinking and driving, you should go to jail. But the drug war isn't working. Forget compassion. It's not working as a matter of price. Heroin is cheaper and cigarettes. What are your thoughts on this? Give me a call. Let me know. 888-48-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back right after this.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Mark Levine. Did you know in most places in the United States, a bag of heroin is cheaper than a pack of cigarettes? That's right. In virtually every state in the United States, it costs more to buy a pack of cigarettes than a bag of heroin. The reason I'm mentioning this is that when we talk about the drug war, we, at least we liberals, understandably focus on the primary victims of the drug war, that is, the addicts themselves. People we understand to be troubled people, sometimes pathetic people, but not evil people, not criminals, just people who've fallen on hard times and often need an escape. And listen, there are lots of escapes around. Some people use the legal drug of alcohol, and let's face it, if you're an alcoholic, alcoholism can be very dangerous to you and your family. Most of us are not alcoholics, but yeah, hard time, need a stiff drink. That's as American as apple pie. Others escape through other things. We've got video games. We've got TV shows. We've got all manner of escape, including some very healthy ones. You take a walk out in nature. And some people use drugs. And I want to be clear here. I'm not defending the drugs. Again, if you heard my show a couple days ago, you know how much I detest anyone smoking cigarettes around me. And I'm not a big fan of marijuana either being smoked around me. Now, I can't say I've seen anyone shoot up heroin or snort cocaine. I guess I just don't run in the right circles. But totally apart from the harm to the addict, what about the harm to society? What about the cost of prison? That's a very heavy cost. Prisons ain't cheap. And we have more people incarcerated in the United States of America than any other country on earth. And that includes per capita. We have more per capita than anyone else, including some pretty awful dictatorships. Seems to me that filling our jail with nonviolent drug users doesn't make any sense. But the real interesting thing about this article that says a pack of cigarettes costs more than a bag of heroin is that the whole drug war isn't working. Presumably, if something is illegal, it would be so expensive it would be out of reach. A pack of cigarettes costing $7 and a bag of heroin costing $70, so people decide not to use heroin. But interestingly, when we legalize and tax something and regulate it, its price goes up. And the money goes to the states, who can use that money for things like smoking cessation programs rather than it going to a bunch of drug cartels, who probably aren't using it in ways that help our health. So the next time someone says, you know, I wouldn't legalize that kind of stuff, you know, look at all the harm it does, say, you know what? Don't you want to get these drugs out of the hands of children? Wouldn't it be better to make it harder for them to get these drugs, to make them more expensive? Well, it's easier to get a bag of heroin than a pack of cigarettes. It's a lot easier to get marijuana than it is to get a beer, unless you get it from your dad's fridge. Think about what works and ask yourself whether this drug war is actually working. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Back to the Aggressive Progressive, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. In talking about the murder that occurred on air in around Roanoke, Virginia, yesterday, we talked a lot about the need to keep guns from being so easily gotten from people. And in fact, the father of one of the journalists shot has promised that we won't hear the end of him. He is working very hard to make some kind of good come out of his daughter Allison's murder, saying how many Allisons will it take? There has to be a way, he said, to force politicians who are cowards in the pockets of the NRA to make sensible laws to make sure crazy people can't get guns. This is not the last you've heard of me. This is something that is Alice's legacy that I want to make happen. He said, I'm going to do something, whatever it takes, to get gun legislation, to shame people, to shame legislators into doing something about closing loopholes and background checks and making sure crazy people don't get guns. Well, Andy Parker, I'm on your side. I'm a delegate, or I will be in January, a delegate in the Commonwealth of Virginia in your state. And I will work with you night and day to persuade, and if not to persuade, to protest against those that would make it easier for people with severe mental illness, people who have a history of violence, terrorists, domestic abusers, sex offenders, and other dangerous people to get guns. In order to understand what happened, and frankly, I have to admit, there was a certain morbid curiosity. I went online and I watched the video. After all, they were killed on a live broadcast. It's frightening stuff, to be sure. And I certainly believe it should not be shown on television. It should never be forced on people. And I don't believe that people should have to see those images, say, on the front cover of a magazine. Because you walk by in a grocery store, you see the front cover of a magazine. But, and I understand why Twitter took it down and Facebook took it down, particularly when the killer himself was sort of bragging about it. He's now shot himself. And yet, I wouldn't remove it from the internet entirely. Partly it's about the First Amendment, but partly it's about the fact that I and others felt we should see it. Now, I fully respect you if you don't want to see it. In fact, I think I'm the minority here. I think most of you don't want to see it, and I understand that. Weirdly enough, I'm someone who doesn't watch horror films, ever. I don't like them. I don't see a need to be needlessly scared. Doesn't do anything for me. I don't like it. But real horrors, I tend to want to see. I've been to death camps of the Holocaust in Poland and in Germany. I've watched horrific images from Vietnam. I've seen and played on this show terrible images and very scary witness reports from the massacres going on in Syria. Gun violence, unfortunately, has been glamorized by Hollywood. And in video games, you shoot someone on the screen and they just pop off the screen. They don't scream and die in blood. They don't cry out for their family. So, in some ways, I think it's easier for people to kill when we take away the sheer horror of murder, which is a horrible thing. So I'd be curious to know from you what you think about those who say that this kind of thing shouldn't be shown on the internet. I think it should be, if only to remind us that guns aren't a game, and murder isn't some easy antiseptic thing, and that pain is real, and that we have to put a stop to this. At trials, at murder trials, at rape trials, the prosecutor always shows the gruesome pictures to the jury. They usually don't show them to the TV cameras, and I think that's good. I think that's right. That's fine. No one should be forced to see this against their will. But the jury always has to see it. They can't avert their eyes. They need to see it. Because the jury has to mete out justice. The jury has to decide who is punished and how much they should be punished for, oftentimes. Sometimes the jury even gives out the death penalty. The jury needs to focus on the gruesomeness of crime and the judge, if the judge is deciding a sentence, because those of us that decide what is just and unjust, those of us decide what to punish, need to be fully informed, even if that information is gruesome. And because I'm trying to get all Americans to act as judge and jury and to push their legislators at the state level, at the federal level, to put a few minor restrictions on guns, like universal background checks, trying to prevent people who have histories, long rap sheets of felonies and domestic violence, trying to make it illegal to sell them a gun when it only takes 50-odd seconds to call and check to make sure someone is not on the terrorist watch list. So I think people should see this, not children. I don't want to create nightmares, not people who have post-traumatic stress syndrome. Again, I fully respect your individual choice not to see it, but please don't ban it. Don't call for it to be removed. I think it's necessary. I think we have to see the pain if we're going to do anything about it. You know, the Newtown massacre, all those children. We never saw pictures of that. And I understand the parents didn't want to show their kids in a gory, brutal mess, pile of blood and body parts. It sounds horrific. And I guess there would be some wackos who might enjoy it. But for the most part, I would hope the images would shock Americans into waking up and recognizing that this isn't something that we should stand for. So, what can I say? I'm okay with those images and on the internet. Again, you have to look for them. They shouldn't be easy to find. They shouldn't be like right on the front page. No one should accidentally run across them. They should have warning labels before you get into them. But I don't want to hide this. In Vietnam, some reporters at Life magazine and so forth argued strenuously over what pictures to show. There's a very famous image of a naked Vietnamese girl running through the streets in terror that they decided to show the horror of war. And just like I don't want to sanitize war, I don't want to sanitize murder either. But agree or disagree, I want to hear from you. The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I'll be right back right after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. Give him a call now at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275.
Topics today. One is the nation's failed drug war, why heroin is cheaper than a pack of cigarettes. And the second topic is whether or not we should allow to be seen on the internet after a warning label and certainly not forced on anyone without clear knowledge of what they're getting and what they're looking for. I don't want it on TVs. I don't want it on magazine covers. But whether we should allow gruesome videos like the one showing, well, doesn't quite show, but showing the camera drops out of the hands, right? But you hear the screams and the shooting of the reporters in Southwest Virginia. I think those things should be available. But I want to hear from you, agree or disagree, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Trevor in Massachusetts on line two. How are you, Trevor?
I'm good. Thank you, Mark, for letting me call in.
Sure.
I agree with you that they should be shown, but just like the classic picture to show, you know, an old lady or a young woman, it depends on the perspective of what you're looking at, what you take from it. You are thinking that people will look at it and say this is an egregious, terrible, evil act and is proof that we should not have guns. And other people will look at it and say it's a terrible, egregious, evil act and proof of why you should have a gun. So I agree it should be shown, but still it's the perception of what somebody sees in the vile act. It might be evidence of being able to protect yourself against vile acts or evidence that vile acts come from guns.
Well, you're right that everyone's going to have their own perceptions, but at the very least, let's look at the, I mean, let's all agree, let's all see that it is a vile act, that it's not a video game, that it's not like the movies, you know, it always seems very, I don't know, murder seems very innocent in the movies. They say that a child sees, I forget, 10,000 murders or something by the time they're 18 in the movies. I want people to see that it is vile. And then what conclusions they come, well, we're going to argue about those things. I mean, this was not in a gun-free zone, right? And it's really unclear how... So let's say the cameraman was packing. He's busy. His back is to the killer, and he's focused on doing his job, which is filming some woman talking. I don't think he could have done anything with a gun. The reporter is focusing on the woman she's talking to, and I don't think the citizen they're talking to could have done much. You know, and we don't have police on every single street corner in America. I don't think most people want that. So I think logically, rationally, the only way to have stopped this crime would be to stop the killer from getting a gun, not by arming the people that he murdered.
Well, I agree that if these people were armed, it would not have protected them. I happen to carry a gun, and if I was caught in a situation like that, I would be just as dead as those people.
Yeah, because you wouldn't. You know, the killer has the element of surprise. You know, when you carry your gun,
exactly. Presumably
you're not thinking every minute. And if you are, I think you're a bit paranoid. But, you know, you're not thinking every single minute you're out, I could be shot at any moment. I mean, they have the element of surprise.
Well, you're absolutely right. A person has an element of surprise if they have a gun or a knife. But what I would take from these images is that people can do evil things.
And right.
If I was in that situation, evil things would have happened to me. But I don't think that amounts to if somebody got the element of surprise and I wasn't killed instantly, I should not be able to use overwhelming force to protect myself. But that's just me.
Yeah, Trevor, let me ask you a question. Are you a trained either police officer or a security guard, or do you have any training in use of your gun?
I'm a teacher.
You're a teacher.
I'm a teacher, but as a hobby, I go and train with my handgun just to be proficient.
Okay.
I would actually argue I'm probably more trained than the average police officer.
Okay, so you've had training then. My concern is not so much for someone like you. My concern is for people who want to get a gun on an impulse because they're mad at their boss at work or whatever, or their spouse or who knows what. They're not going to undergo the training that you've undergone. They're going to just want to get a gun and use it right away. And what's interesting about the training requirement, it's not just to make sure that people like you know what they're doing with guns and, you know that, for example, you know, if you remove the bullets from a gun, don't try to clean it yet because there's a bullet in the chamber. Oops, lots of people have died that way. They don't know that. So it's not just to train you how to protect yourself, but also it's to prevent you, this training, from going on impulse and saying, I'm so mad at my wife, I'm going to shoot her. You know, by the time you go through the training, you might think twice about killing your wife. You might not, but some people will.
Well, a lot of
guns are impulse buys.
You're absolutely right about that. And I called to talk specifically about the image, but I want to take exception to your characterization, too, of, you know, people on terrorist watch lists shouldn't be able to have a gun and criminals shouldn't be able to have a gun. Most of those things are not determined until somebody does something.
It depends.
When the term was coined terrorism after 9/11, I remember me as a thinking, rational person, my first thought was, well, what defines a terrorist?
Well, it's not always true, though, Trevor. Let's be clear. The guy in France was on everybody's watch list.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a guy who was known to be someone who advocated, you know, murder. The guy in Colorado had been declared mentally ill by a court. The guy in Virginia Tech had a finding of mental illness. The guy in Sandy Hook. I mean, a lot of these people do have backgrounds. I'm not saying we're going to catch every one of them, but a number of people who have committed these murders. I mean, the guy in Charleston told his friend he was going to go out and shoot black people. Now that's a warning sign. But it's not just casual conversation.
Right. So it's a warning sign. But consider this also, Mark. My neighbor, who's a fine, upstanding neighbor and a good, decent fellow, was also on a terrorist watch list by mistake.
Well, but you can get yourself removed. So here's the deal. If you're on it by mistake, you go and you can get yourself removed from it. And it happens.
And in the meantime,
mistakes happen.
In the meantime, he's denied.
You know what? I'm okay with a few people being denied in the meantime because of mistake, than arming ISIS in America. I think that the former problem is a lot less severe than the second problem. We may just disagree on that.
Yeah, we could disagree on that because consider what you're measuring or weighing is the amount of people you might save by making sure you deny ISIS terrorists. Versus the amount of people that lost because they weren't able to defend themselves when evil like these images.
Would you know, Trevor? Do you know? Because
some
I have yet,
would be lost
Trevor. Trevor, I have yet to find now we have mass murder, a mass shooting every single day on average in America in 2015. Every day, not just one death, but multiple deaths by guns in America on average this year in 2015. I have not found a single case in a mass shooting where someone who was not a trained police officer or trained security officer stopped a killer with a gun. I haven't found a single one. If you find one, do me a favor, post it on my website, marklevinetalk.com. I haven't found a single one, but I have found thousands of examples of people being shot by these guns. So this, I think it's a complete myth. I think it's a Hollywood myth. It may happen one day.
But you're ignoring, Mark, the single instances of a person using a gun, not in a mass shooting, but in protecting themselves from somebody that was doing evil.
Studies show, Trevor, that if you have a gun in your home, it is 20 to 40 times more likely to be used against you or a member of your family than it is used against an intruder. And that's just the statistics. So it may rarely on occasion happen, but we would save a lot more lives, I think, by having these background checks. I appreciate your call, Trevor. I got to get to a couple other people who've been holding on a long time. Let me go to Ann from Oregon on line 3. Hey, Ann, how are you?
Hi, Mark. I wanted to speak to the value of the visual.
Yes.
In my life, I get all of my news at home from the radio. And so when something big is going on, like the fires in Washington or like tornadoes and Katrina, I don't get the full impact unless I go over to friend's house and watch television.
Yeah.
And every time I say, oh, my God, I had no idea it was so huge.
Yeah. So we need to have these visuals available. Again, with warnings. I don't want to force them on anyone who doesn't want to watch them. But I think to measure the true impact of a horrific crime or problem, we have to see it, whether it's war or fire or a mass murder.
That's the bottom line. Otherwise, it's a fire. Oh, it's a tornado.
Yeah,
but
I agree with you. Thanks for your call, Ann. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Real quick, Andrea in Palm Springs on line 1. How are you?
Oh, so far so good. Very quickly, I think all drugs should be legalized, and I agree all the way with monitoring, taxing, and
good.
Regulating.
Fantastic.
Absolutely. With regard to the... I thought even after Sandy Hook, if I had been one of the parents, I would have tried to get all the parents to agree to have all those photos. Those kids were unrecognizable.
Yeah.
And have those put out. I don't need to see any of that. I don't watch beheadings. My mind is already there. But for the people that are
they don't know.
Out of the loop or not paying attention.
I hear you, Andrea.
I'm
afraid my time's up. Thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Look, I'm willing to keep the beheadings off the air because everyone seems to agree the beheadings are wrong. But the reason we got to show these images is because there are people in America that don't understand the proliferation of guns is wrong. This is Mark Levine.